Hey there, this is Carrie Schaefer, also known as author Carrie Ann King, and you are listening to Tell Me Your Secrets, where I get to take you off the page with the people who make the books we all love to read. Tell Me Your Secrets is produced from live stream video and is owned and copyrighted by Authors on the Air Global Radio Broadcasting Network.
Hi, everybody. Carrie Ann King here with you again today, and I'm very excited about our guest. I have known Christine Nolfi. I forgot to ask, is that how you pronounce your last name?
Yes.
Yay. Okay, I got it. Nailed it. I have known Christine online for years now. Lake Union sisters, and we've done all kinds of things, but I don't think we've ever talked before. So this is really exciting for me to be able to bring her on the show and introduce her to you. So Christine Nolfi is the author of many books. I'm going to ask her about them all in a minute because I've forgotten how many, but there are lots, like a ton. She has written romances, kind of sweet romances, and then last year, we did a little switch, I noticed, into kind of more women's fiction. Christine, right now, her new book that we're going to be talking about today is called The Passing Storm. And I'm just going to start asking her questions because I know you'd rather hear from her than from me. So hi, Christine. Welcome.
Hi, Carrie. It's so nice to be here with you.
It's so fun to get to talk to you.
Lake Union Sisters.
Yeah. So where in the world are you?
I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, originally from Northeast Ohio, but we got tired of the weather and moved down south. No snow.
No snow. But you get other things probably, like hurricanes and stuff. So let me ask you about that, because you mentioned when we were talking before the show that you're writing a book and it's the first one that you've not had to write while being relocated due to weather.
The Passing Storm is the first Lake Union book in the last 5 books for them that I didn't have to write part of the book during a hurricane. I had to evacuate at some point during every one of the Sweet Lake books.
Oh my gosh.
The Road She Left Behind. There's a portion of each of those books that was written while I was fleeing in a hotel room in another state or another city.
Okay. Now that is true writer dedication.
I don't even know if my editor knows that. I don't know if I've ever told Chris that, by the way, I've written portions of each of those books while evacuating.
You're my hero now. I mean, that's just like, that is so awesome. So many people would say, oh, I just can't do this. But yeah, that's really amazing. I would email my editor and say, hey, I'll do what I can, but
you know,
I'm evacuating.
You hate to miss those deadlines. And I came out of public relations before I started writing. So the whole idea of you don't miss a deadline. So I would just find a library after we evacuated and abandon my husband and dog and go write in a library. This was pre-COVID. So libraries were always open.
Right. Well, and I get that. And, you know, I've not ever evacuated while writing a book, but I have written books while, you know, hanging out in the hospital while my mother was dying and, you know, those kinds of things. I mean, you know, after breast cancer, I shocked my doctors with the question, like top of my mind is like, how long will it be before I can write? You know, so I get that. Totally.
We do what we have to do.
We do. Well, and we're very passionate as writers about what we do. So let's talk about The Passing Storm, because that's really why we're here today. Show us your copy. It's so beautiful.
I love this cover.
It's a gorgeous cover. If you are just listening and not seeing us on video, you're totally missing out, but you know you can go online and look up The Passing Storm by Christine Nolfi, N-O-L-F-I, just in case you were wondering. Tell us a little bit about this book, Christine.
The book is, the original idea is based on a blizzard that happened in Northeast Ohio. It's a historic blizzard. They call it the White Hurricane. And I wanted to take that actual event and spin off how could one event impact a number of lives, you know, like a domino effect. Mm-hmm. So I based it on the storm and, then you follow the different characters, how they were impacted from that one event. It was a historic storm. 51 Ohioans died. The temperatures plummeted to 40 below zero in a matter of hours. People were, there were 10-foot snowdrifts burying houses. So it was, if you ask somebody who lives in Northeast Ohio, most people there have heard of it.
Right. Wow. So
starting point.
Yeah, that's a great starting point. And then you have, it looks like three main characters that we're talking about. So tell us a little bit about these characters who are drawn together. We don't want to give anything away to anybody I know, but.
The main character, Ray, is a woman in her early 30s, and she's been impacted by the blizzard in several ways that aren't apparent to the reader right away, which I loved writing her character because, you know, I'm dropping it in a little at a time as you go through the book, and you don't understand all the different impacts that the storm had on her until close to the end of the book. And then there's her father, and she lives with him. They live in a farm that is actually very much like the farm that I raised my children on after I was divorced. I didn't realize till I was midway through the book. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm actually depicting the farm as it was falling apart, and I'm trying to get the kids raised. And then they take in a teenage boy named Quinn. And you know, I'm an adoptive mother. And so his character is very much drawn on my experiences.
Right. Well, and let's stop there for a minute, because I know your adoptive mother, but many of our listeners may not. So if you don't mind sharing that information, tell us a little bit about, you know, how many children have you adopted?
I have four kids. They're a sibling group from the Philippines. They were abandoned in the jungle. They were ages 4, 4, 5, and 7 at the time of the adoption. So my oldest daughter, especially at age 7, you know, had a lot of memories of,
sure,
of what had happened before the adoption.
Right.
And it isn't just that. Before I adopted, I read hundreds of case studies. I tried to adopt here in the US for years. So I think creating a character like Quinn was really drawn from all those case studies I had read, talking to other adoptive parents.
Sure.
And he just was a lovely character. And he comes from a very abusive home. And Ray takes him in, and their stories are connected in more ways than are apparent at the beginning of the book.
Right.
Again, I don't want to give too much
away. Well, and even at the beginning, and this isn't giving away too much because it's in the first pages, we are told that, you know, Ray really has reasons not to want to have anything to do with Quinn, and it begins to unfold. I have not finished the book yet. I just started. I'm like in there.
I can't wait to read yours.
I should mention, all right, since she's brought it up, Other People's Things by me, Carrie Ann King, is now available out there in the world. So just so you know.
Can't wait to read it. It sounds like such a fun story.
It's fun. It's a little different than
usual. From house to house.
We're here to talk about your books today.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm not...
Thank you for product placement moment for Carrie Ann King. I love it. So we are here talking about the passing storm. However, have you ever been in a snowstorm?
I was in college in Shaker Heights when the White Hurricane occurred. My parents and three younger sisters lived in Chardon, where the book takes place, at the time of the storm. So I always knew at some point I would write about this because they were terribly impacted. They were trapped. You couldn't get out of houses. There was one child that died from snow dropping off of a tree limb.
Oh my gosh.
How much snow came down.
That much snow, yeah.
Yeah, so I wasn't directly impacted by it, but my parents and my younger sisters talked about it for years.
Right.
So my brother, he was actually trapped on the highway during it.
So you were directly impacted because you were worried about your family during that time. So it sounds like all kinds of things kind of snuck into this book. So you started with the storm, and there was, you know, what happened to your family. And then there was your experience with trying to keep a farm going after your divorce.
And all that merged into a story.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how that happened? So did you see that coming when you started, or did it surprise you?
This book came together faster than any other book I've written. And I think in part that was because I started coming up with the idea in January 2020. And I had already started stockpiling food in the house. I knew we were going to have a pandemic. My husband thought I was nuts, but I'm kind of a nerd reading global information all the time. So I think part of the reason it came together so quickly was it was unbearable reading the news. So I reached a point where I just stopped and buried myself in my story. You know how you get to that point when you're writing, you just don't want to leave it. I was at that point within weeks, yeah, instead of, you know, 100 pages in.
Right.
I think it was because of the pandemic, and it was a place to escape to, that had a hopeful ending, because you know what it was like in the beginning of 2020. We didn't know how this was going to end.
We did not. It's funny you say that, though. We're directly flipped at my house. My partner is the one who, he used to be in supply chain. So he's looking way down the road and insisting on laying in all of these supplies, and I'm laughing at him. Ha, ha, ha. And then we start going to the grocery store. And
yeah,
you were right. I had to say it. You were right. So
we had to prepare. So I think that whole experience, I wanted to write something that showed people going through a great tragedy and coming out resilient and better people at the other end, something really hopeful.
Right.
I hope nothing makes people cry. Happy tears.
Well, and what a wonderful thing to do. You know, it's therapeutic for us as writers. And then also, you know, I love that it's therapeutic as a reader, that you get to follow people through a difficult experience and then watch them emerge hopeful and triumphant on the other side. It's very encouraging.
Yeah, all of my books are hopeful. I don't think I could write a really despondent book that just ends in all tears.
No. No, me, same here, right? I always have to end there. So question for you. So do you remember what your, like early in COVID, what your reading was? I got into The Lord of the Rings. I had not read, I used to read that trilogy regularly. And I actually, that was my comfort read, was to read through the entire Lord of the Rings, because I love that they're going through a very, very, very dark time, but again, they're very resilient, and yeah, there was still joy and the magic and everything, and it all survived, you know, and they came out the other side. So that
gosh,
was it for
was
me.
I reading at the, honestly, Carrie, I got so wrapped up in these characters. I think I stopped reading anything. I was waking up in the middle of the night, and I'd have like eureka moments, and I'd have part of another chapter, and I'd get
back. Oh, wow. I love when that happens, don't you? Eureka moments are my very, very favorite part of writing.
They always happen when you're away from your office. You're out walking, or you're shopping, or you're exercising. They always happen somewhere else.
Yes, shower.
I don't know if I read anything during the pandemic because I got so wrapped up in this book.
Right. That's so wonderful. I love that you were so wrapped up in it. So question now, are you writing anything now?
I'm getting ready for edits of my next Lake Union release. I just delivered it to my editor. Hopefully I'll have the edits started in the middle of November.
Right.
And that book should come out next September.
Can you tell us anything about it? It, like the tentative title?
It's a sister's story. It's very hopeful. It had, like Storm, it has some very dramatic parts and some secrets you're not expecting. But I've never written a true sister story, and I have four sisters. So how could I not have written one of those yet? And again, it was one of those ideas that just kind of hit.
Yeah.
So
I love when that happens. Do you have a title for it yet or no?
I don't. And the last couple of books, Lake Union does a better job of titling. Are you able to come up with your own titles?
I do come up with my own titles. And
they like better job than I do.
For example, with other people's things, I honestly thought they were going to change that title. It was something that just popped into my head. It's like, I need a title for this book. And I'm like, oh, that fits. So everybody loved it. And I was really surprised. I didn't, you know, who knew?
I'm at the point now where I just deliver a manuscript to Lake Union untitled because I know they do a better job of titling.
They're going to change it anyway. Right. So I did have to ask you, I like to ask about secrets, and I was looking at your website, and there's a mention here, there's a little bio, and it says, it starts this way, I love this, some writers are gifted with an unusual life, and I'm certainly one of those. And then it says, in college, I was featured on the front page of the Houston Post for a lark that erased all my debt. Are you willing to tell us about what that lark was?
For readers that remember this, in 1980, the airlines got into a pricing war. I don't know if you remember this. Maybe it might have been, no, it was 1979, and I was in college. I've just dated myself terribly. they got into a pricing war. And if you took a trip in June and July of that summer, you would get a $25 coupon off your next flight. And they forgot to write non-transferable at the bottom of these coupons. So around the country, there must have been about 25 college students like myself that figured this out. So we went to airports and we were buying these coupons from like families that wouldn't travel again. And then for years, I couldn't say who we sold ours to. We sold ours to Procter & Gamble.
Oh,
we had signed a contract saying we wouldn't tell anybody for 10 years who bought these coupons, but they used them for their business travel. And anyway, we were in Houston. We decided to, I'm not sure why we decided to fly down to Texas, but we decided to go to Texas to buy coupons. And the Houston Post figured it out and they put us on the front page. And that day, like there was a swarm of people trying to buy these coupons, but we'd already bought a ton of them and sold them to Procter & Gamble in New York City.
Oh, that's so funny.
My college debt.
You were early an entrepreneur. So I...
Well, and actually there were several college students that figured it out a day or two before us. And I heard that one of them made like $500,000, which is a lot of money now, but even more in 1979.
Yeah. Wow. That's
About 25,000.
That's pretty decent money for, especially for a college student. Yeah. So very good. That's awesome. Yeah. So Christine,
that's my secret.
Where can people find you if they want to keep up with you online? Do you have a newsletter that they should subscribe to?
Yes. Please go to my website, ChristineAlfie.com, sign up for my newsletter. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Goodreads, and Christine at ChristineAlfie.com. I love email. Send me a note.
And that's awesome. And Christine is spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, the good old fashioned way. And Nolfi is N-O-L-F-I, for those of you who are listening, so you can find her. And you do want to read The Passing Storm. And I forgot to mention, so this book technically is out November 1st, but it is already out now in October because it is an Amazon first reads, which is just absolutely, you know, exciting and fun when that happens. Yeah. So although it's not officially released, it already has a gazillion reviews and a bunch of, you know, really, really nice stars. So this is exciting and awesome. And you are going to want to have a look at it. So Find the Passing Storm by Christine Nolfi. Go find her website and her newsletter, find her online, and read the book and look at the others. Thanks so much, Christine. I'm so excited that I actually got to see your face. It was really fun to talk to you.
Thank you, Carrie. This was wonderful.
It was. So we'll have to do it again, like next year. Okay?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.